This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Right, good afternoon, everybody. As my first slide shows, I'm going to get my reference to Brown from the very beginning. There's been a lot of discussion this morning around the Brown Review and the implications for the student experience. And over the past few years, we've seen an increasing focus on student experience and on the necessity to ensure that the university experience meets and ideally exceeds student expectations. In the Brown Review, it's highlighted that choice is in the hands of the student. HEIs can charge different and higher fees, provided that they can show improvements in the student experience. However, if we look at further comments made in the review, it would seem that we are still a long way from delivering an experience which lives up to student expectations, and which really enables them to make the most of their time at university. If we're to look at the university experience as being something which extends beyond the quality of the teaching and learning process. My belief is that a lot can be learnt from the experience of international students who benefit from a soft landing when they pass through pre-university preparation centres, such as the ones run by INTO, in joint ventures with a number of UK and US universities. And I'd like to unpick this by looking at what we do as an organisation to prepare students for studying at a UK university. And I will be giving some very specific examples. Hefke research, again quoted in the Brown Review, highlights factors which students look at when choosing their course. And quite understandably, they will look at the evaluation of student satisfaction around teaching, the course, the support, the guidance, and so on. And we can all readily identify with these. However, once the student arrives at the university, what do they first focus on? The research we've done with international students suggests that while these aspects come into play once they've settled in, other factors such as the orientation week, the accommodation, the quality of food, and so on, have a major impact on their initial impressions and will ultimately colour the view of their student experience and can and do and will affect their overall satisfaction and potentially their performance. While what I'm going to present now relates to international students, it's my belief that this is applicable to all students, as they all have similar expectations of the support and guidance which enhances their experience, while not detracting from the belief that students and all students should be learning how to become independent, not just as learners, but also as individuals. So just to put into context a little bit who we are, as an organisation, we establish partnerships with world-leading universities to create distinctive and exceptional student experiences for international students. The investments we make help transform institutional performance and can and do generate substantial additional resource for university and student use. Our partnerships support the mission and values of partner universities, unlocking potential and improving opportunities for students and staff. And these are our partners that have been established since 2006. Most of our partnerships are based on campus and provide academic and English language programmes, although the model has evolved to embrace new opportunities, including projects for gifted and talented students, or to support the establishment of a branch campus of the University of East Anglia in London and teaching domestic students alongside international students. So, what is the INTO difference? Fundamentally, it's because we believe that the key to what we do is the fact that the student sits at the heart of everything. And therefore, what we focus on is delivering a sustainable experience for international students. And how do we do this? First of all, the quality of the teaching and learning experience. This is ultimately why students come here. We have qualified and experienced subject teachers who either have qualifications in both their subject areas and in English language, or who work alongside the English language teachers to ensure that the delivery of the subject material is at an appropriate level and is suitably reinforced in the English language classes. An appreciation that students are not special needs students because of a language deficit, but that in fact that they have been successful learners in their own countries, and it is the fact that they have different study strategies and academic literacy skills, such as a different argument and rhetorical structure, or different ideas about plagiarism. So it's about orientating them towards what we expect, but not from the standpoint that what they're doing is wrong. We give them very clear assessment guidelines and make sure that there's a very fast turnaround on feedback and that the feedback is very detailed and followed up with one-to-one tutorials. Class sizes tend to be small, although there is exposure to lectures in order to prepare them for what they will have when they continue on to their university programme. But these lectures will then be followed up with seminars and tutorials to help comprehension and facilitate discussion, with both English language teachers and subject teachers participating. Therefore, we work with the students to introduce them to the different ways of learning. We've just started working with Common Purpose, a not-for-profit leadership development organisation, and are investing in leadership development training, which is open to all our students and gives them the opportunity to meet the local leaders and become involved in community projects while developing skills and strategies which will underpin any future employment. We have progression officers and placement officers, and this relates to what Mary was saying this morning about the guidance that's needed. And their role is to work with the students, both collectively and individually, to help them select the course most appropriate to their needs, interests, and abilities, and to guide them through the whole application process. We're also able to have a ratio of 9-1 student to staff, which does include both academic and student support. Pastoral and welfare support is equally important. Whether it's the provision of letters to open bank accounts, give detailed visa guidance on a one-to-one basis, provision of the social programme to help them explore the local area, or taking them further afield, giving them a 24-hour emergency phone line. We have language advisors to help with day-to-day problems, or possibly more important issues where emotional concerns can impede communication skills. And students will benefit from being able to discuss using their own language. We may at times have discussions with parents or sponsors where there are concerns about the student, which needs to be communicated back. The main point is that it's a personalised service. Students have a variety of people they can go to, whatever the problem. And it's important to get across from the outset that a problem shared is a problem reduced or even removed. The student journey from inquiry to graduation. Again, when a student's out sitting in another country, how do they begin to select where to go? So we have advisors who work with them in their own language, either through educational representatives or one of our team of 60 staff who are located in 23 countries around the world. One of the most important and most powerful factors for students when choosing where to go are the students' stories. So we make a lot of effort to capture stories by students about their experience in the individual centres, because that carries an enormous weight for them. We make sure there's a 48 turnaround to reply to applications to make an offer or a rejection. They're all given a comprehensive pre-departure guide, which is emailed or posted to every student. We make sure that they are picked up at the airport and that there is a 24-hour phone in operation at all times. On arrival, they're given a welcome pack, which does include basic food and also a SIM card so they can call home. One of the most difficult things for students arriving is actually making contact back home, because very often they don't have a login on immediate arrival, so we need to make sure they can do that. And they arrive to a made-up bed. How many of us have struggled taking our own students to university with the bedding, the pots, the pans, and everything else? For an international student arriving, they can't cope with that. The orientation week, which does include language testing and, if necessary, math testing, so from the outset we can put in extra support. We make sure they meet the tutors and that they get a full and comprehensive introduction to the course, but done in small groups so they have a time to go through what's required of them and to ask questions. And in particular, they're introduced to the assessment requirements. They'll also have support of registration process, which can be quite daunting. Visa support, registering with the police, and all the other details that have to be done. The point is that they're supported and helped along the way and not just left to get on with it. They need to know where to go and get food, which they can relate to, and even having basic lessons in cooking, because most of them have never done that before. So these are just some of the ways that we all ease students into their new life and help them adjust. Experience has shown that students settle into their accommodation and can access food with which they're familiar. Then they engage much more quickly with the teaching and learning process. Research at the University of Bournemouth indicates that by paying more attention to the food requirements of international students, we can create a climate for positive learning. Throughout their time with us, the students receive constant support. And by working closely with our host universities, we help ease them into the next stage of their studies. However, it is noticeable that many students continue to return to the INTU centres when needing advice or support, certainly during the first few months of their next course of study. Many say that they're unsure of where to go or who to contact. Thus, it's easier to return to the centre. And this picks up again on Mary's point from this morning on that aspect. The teaching and learning facilities and the accommodation facilities, underpinning all of what we do, is the investment in the outstanding teaching and learning facilities and in exceptional residential accommodation. We opened a £35 million building on the UEA campus in 2008, which combines teaching facilities with residential accommodation and a restaurant. And that's the restaurant's used by staff and students from across the campus because it does provide a wide variety of international food. A new centre is opening at Exeter at the end of this year and is also underway at Newcastle. And finally, I think one thing that is absolutely essential is the passion of the staff about student success. So we come back full circle to the student being at the heart of everything we do. And it's the total appreciation of what is needed on all aspects to support the students on their journey through us, through the INTU centres, on to university and afterwards into the workplace. So it's the excellence in student experience. And it's from the first point a student makes contact right the way through. And just to give an idea of the numbers that we're talking about, since we first opened in 2006 until summer of 2010, we've seen a total of over 4,000 students progress into higher education, which nearly 3,000 are into the host universities with which we're working. And most importantly is how successful, and we do evaluate our student success and their comments both after arrival and on exit. And as you can see on this, is over the last 3 years, there's been a marked increase from just over 70% to nearly 90% of satisfaction on all aspects of their experience with us. And this is because of the fact that we've listened to the students and been able to put into place improvements which are reflected in these results. So why are we so focused on student experience? Some research conducted for us overseas with prospective Chinese, Russian, and Korean students has shown that in all cases they consider that employers value more the international experience than the actual international qualification. So this again emphasises why we can't underestimate the importance of the student experience, as after all, our students are our biggest advocates and our ambassadors. You'll see the same for both for Russia and for Korea. For all of them, it's highlighted that the international experience is the most important. So final point, I'd like to finish just by focusing a little bit on internationalisation as opposed to talking about international students per se. Because after all, why should a commitment to the outstanding student experience be the prerogative of international students, and particularly in the climate within which we're operating now? We should be doing this for all students and helping them to achieve new levels of success when everyone is seeking more value from higher education. Over the past few years, many universities have invested in the development of an internationalisation strategy and have been at pains to ensure that this extends beyond the recruitment of international students. One area that we need to look at is the whole internationalisation of the curriculum, which will be to the benefit of both international and domestic students. However, if I can just take one aim of an internationalisation strategy, which is to provide the opportunity for domestic students to become global citizens, then we should make sure we're providing the opportunity for students to appreciate cultural difference. And as Michael Wharton from UCL said the other day, to mobilise its value in intellectual and social contexts. And he quoted from Timothy Radcliffe the fact that universities should be places where we learn to speak with strangers. As a language student, and I'm sure this will resonate with a number of people here, I spent a year in Vienna, and for me that was a life-changing experience. One of the greatest benefits, however, was the way my eyes were opened to what was happening on the world stage by having the opportunity to get to know students from all over the world, and thus experience through their eyes, and I'm going to show you how old I am, the reality of apartheid, the impact of the Arab-Israeli war, the invasion of Czechoslovakia by Russia, contrasting views and the rights and wrongs of the Vietnam War, and so on. It was a huge richness for me of experience and opportunity. But how many Austrian students did I get to know? A handful. My German improved because German was the language of communication, but not getting to know the home students. Transfer this experience to any one of our campuses and look at the student feedback on the International Student Barometer. How successfully have domestic students and international students integrated? Not well at all. And yet this has to be a major opportunity for home students to widen their horizons and to start to embrace cultural difference. We need to set up mechanisms for home and international students to meet. Some initiatives are underway. Global Chums in Exeter, wherein two students are grouped with a mentor from within the university to help them over the first few weeks. Tandem learning, where students learning each other's language are paired together using Facebook as the means of communication to get it established. A similar system has been set up at Surrey and no doubt is beginning to emerge elsewhere. These are small steps in the right direction. Another initiative that we undertook was the placement of three Chinese language graduates from the University of Manchester in China over the summer to support our marketing team based there, as a result of which two have been offered full-time employment with us and all have had the opportunity to broaden their horizons through new experiences. However, none of this is possible without the engagement of staff and students right across the university. And to do this, there needs to be total commitment to the innovation, the quality and success of the student experience for all students. So now is not the time to reduce investment in the student experience. I'd say do so at your peril. But to do this successfully, there's the need to appreciate what does make a truly memorable experience. And from that, we will then produce successful and employable students. Thank you very much.